The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the Sound Prints Audio Magazine from the 20th is now online. ACB is seeking Board of Publications candidates. Mobility at the convention coming up at the end of June, early July. The Marlena Lieberg program has been archived. Lainey Feinberg Legal weighs in on the loss of Ms. Marlena and Mr. Ken Matz. And the Marrakesh Treaty has come out of committee and is on to the Senate. The National Institutes of Health says vision impairment and blindness could double by 2050. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine for May 20th is now online. Apple teaches blankets to code. Comments sought for change to federal regulations for service dogs on planes. Memories of Marlena Lieberg. Marlena's description of a visit to a glacier. From the Sound Prints Archives. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council for the Blind. Phone 502-895-4598. Email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Candidates, The Clock is Ticking by Ron Brooks. If you are a prospective candidate for one of the 5 seats available on the ACB Board of Directors or for one of the 3 seats available on the ACB Board of Publications, you have just 5 days to make your introductions on the ACB Candidates page. Just provide answers to the following questions absolutely no later than Friday, May 25th. Questions for board candidates. 1. Introduce yourself and explain why you wish to serve as a member of the ACB Board of Directors. 2. Summarize your experience with the national organization and or with state special interest or local chapters that qualifies you for service on the Board of Directors. 3. If you could strengthen the ACB's performance in any area, where would you focus your efforts and what would you do? 4. How would you strengthen the cohesiveness among the ACB and its state and special interest affiliates? 5. What are the most important areas where ACB should focus in the 21st century? How can you assist the organization to excel in those areas? Questions for BOP candidates. Introduce yourself and explain why you are interested in serving as a member of the Board of Publications. 2. Summarize any experience you have as a writer. How can you use this experience to strengthen the BOP's oversight of ACB's written and online publications? 3. If you could make changes to the ACB's written and or online communications, what would you change and why? 4. What role, if any, should the BOP play in the written or online publications of ACB state or special interest affiliates? Please note the BOP will cut your response to each question off at 300 words, but the BOP will not edit for grammar or spelling. Also, you are permitted to provide contact email addresses and links to websites or social media sites where ACB members can obtain more information. Email and website links will not be live, and your contact information will not count toward the word count limits described above. Instructions for candidates page submissions. 1. You must be an ACB member in good standing. 2. Submissions must be in Braille, in print, or submitted electronically. You may submit your electronic entries in MS Word, as an ASCII text file, or in the body of an email. 3. Email electronic submissions to SLOVERING@acb.org with the subject line candidates page submission. 4. Print Braille. Mail print Braille and electronic submissions on thumb drives to American Council of the Blind Attention Candidates, page 1703 North Beauregard Street, Suite 420, Alexandria, Virginia 22311. The deadline for all candidates' page submissions is Friday, May 25th, 2018 at 4 p.m. Eastern. Late submissions will not be accepted. Oh, well, by the time this airs, that will be passed. I'm sorry. The candidates page will be live on or about June 8th, and the page will remain available through ACB elections, which will take place at the ACB Conference and Convention July 5th. But wait, there's more. If you introduce yourself on the ACB Candidates page, you will automatically be invited to participate in the ACB Candidates Forum. This year, the Candidates Forum will be hosted by ACB Radio on Wednesday, June 20th, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Candidates will be able to present and answer questions online or by phone, and ACB Radio listeners will also be invited to ask their own questions of the candidates. More details about accessing the Candidates Forum will follow approximately 1 week before the event. And if all that's not enough, the BOP and ACB Radio will also present the first ever ACB Candidates Town Hall Meeting. The Town Hall Meeting will take place at the ACB Conference and Convention in St. Louis at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, July 4th, and will be broadcast live on ACB Radio. Information about the town hall meeting will be included on the ACB convention program, and instructions for joining by phone or ACB Radio will be provided via email, social media, and ACB Radio closer to the event. Don't delay. Join today. The ACB is only as good as its members and those who choose to serve as its leaders. So if you have great ideas and the willingness to work hard for our collective future, get your statement in by Friday and get ready for a fast-paced, informative, and fun campaign season. From Janet Dickelman, if anyone needs a wheelchair or a scooter in St. Louis, please contact Provider Plus Incorporated, 7748 Watson, St. Louis, Missouri, 63119. Call 314-961-8500. www.providerplus.com. Weekly rate for scooters is $125. Manual wheelchairs are $60 per week. There is an additional $50 delivery and pickup fee. On Monday, May 21st, Larry Turnbull posts, "Hi all. First, thank you to Deb Lewis and Jeff Bishop for a great live tribute to Marlena Lieberg. The tribute aired last night from 8 p.m. Eastern to a little after 10 p.m. Eastern last night. If you missed the tribute or if you want to listen to it again, you can download the archive by going to http://acbradio.org/Marlena, M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A. Also, you can download archives of the Marlena Show through the above link. Marlena also did a show called Blind Spot, which aired before Marlena started the Marlena Show. You can get the archives of Blind Spot by going to http://acbradio.org/blindspot. Signed, Larry." From http://www.lflegal.com/2018/05/LIEBERG-METZ/. The past 2 months have seen too much loss in the blind advocacy community in the United States. In April, Lainey Feinberg wrote about the death of Sue Amater, the blind activist behind a successful structured negotiation with the American Cancer Society. Then in May came news that Marlena Lieberg and Ken Metz had died within days of each other. Both were committed advocates and structured negotiation champions. Structured negotiation depends on people like Marlena and Ken. Structured negotiation is a client-centered way to resolve legal disputes with useful tools for anyone seeking to encourage a change in behavior. A first principle of structured negotiation is that disability civil rights legal claims are about people. Ken Metz and Marlena Lieberg were two people involved in many successful structured negotiation efforts. A quick look through my emails finds Marlena or Ken involved with the following cases. A. Weight Watchers, accessible website, mobile app, and print docs. B. Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, accessible credit reports online and on paper. C. Walgreens, talking prescription labels. D. Major League Baseball, accessible websites and mobile app. E. Bank of America, talking ATMs. F. Safeway, accessible website and mobile app. Marlena and Ken's involvement in these cases included providing feedback on new technologies, talking with company representatives, reporting bugs and post-settlement mishaps, and letting us know what companies were doing right. Ken and Marlena were both very involved with the American Council of the Blind, ACB, and its local affiliates in California, Ken, and in Washington State, Marlena. Their participation in structured negotiation was often in the role of ACB member or officer. Both did what they thought was best for the organization and for blind people everywhere, without concern for personal credit or limelight. In my book, Structured Negotiation, A Winning Alternative to Lawsuits, I quote Marlena talking about her role in the negotiation with Major League Baseball. Marlena B. Burke, an American Council of the Blind officer and loyal Mariners fan, participated in many of those calls with MLB staff. I never felt there was an adversarial relationship with MLB, Lee Burke says. The MLB guys were just wonderful. They were honest and asked good questions. By participating in those meetings, I felt that I put a face on blindness for people who otherwise wouldn't have a clue. Structured Negotiation, A Winning Alternative to Lawsuits, page 209. Once the negotiations with Major League Baseball were over, Marlena was quoted in the 2012 MLB press release announcing accessibility of the sports giant's mobile app for iPhone and iPad. Positive press, once a solution is reached, is a hallmark of structured negotiation. MLB became and remains a champion of accessibility and rightfully deserved positive press. 11 years earlier, as chair of the Environmental Access Committee of the Washington Council of the Blind, Marlena had been quoted in Union Bank's structured negotiation press release announcing the first talking ATMs in Oregon and Washington State. Marlena Lieber captured the essence of structured negotiation in a quote I used to kick off Chapter 7. One of the reasons I like to be involved in structured negotiation is that everyone comes away learning something. Everyone feels like a winner. Structured Negotiation, A Winning Alternative to Lawsuits, page 73. Ken and Marlena on the radio. Both Ken and Marlena both hosted radio shows. Ken's show was Access Unlimited on Pacifica radio station KPFK. Marlena had a long-running interview show on ACB Radio. Their audiences were lucky to have the insight, humor, and committed voices of these leaders. I was lucky to have been a guest on both shows. Marlena Lieberg and Ken Metz became more than clients to me. They were colleagues and friends who taught me so much about both blindness and advocacy. They were tremendous supporters of the structured negotiation as an advocacy strategy, yet were never hesitant to hold my feet to the fire when needed. I will miss them both. I invite you to read more about these two committed activists. There are hot links in her letter. From www.districtdispatch.org, another big step toward Marrakesh Treaty ratification. Today, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted unanimously to send the Marrakesh Treaty Implementation Act, Senate Bill 2559, to the full Senate for a vote. It passed by two-thirds of the Senate. If passed by two-thirds of the Senate, the legislation will go to the President for final signature. For more than 10 years, associations representing the print disabled, the Library Copyright Alliance, LCA, and other civil society organizations have worked to increase the availability of accessible reading materials for people with print disabilities. With the Implementation Act, the United States will join 37 other countries whose laws allow for the cross-border sharing of accessible content. According to the U.S. State Department, Americans with print disabilities will have 350,000 more accessible titles available to them with the law's passage. People with print disabilities that speak languages other than English will have access to accessible content in foreign languages. Today's vote is another promising development for full ratification and implementation of an international treaty, the first to provide an exception to international copyright law. ALA Executive Director from Mike L. Marlin says the next step is a ratification vote in the full Senate. The vote could happen as 2 to 3 weeks from now, although the Senate calendar does not show the vote scheduled yet and is notoriously slow in being updated. If you or your staff or state librarian or all of the above are able, please consider contacting your senators, urging them to vote yes on ratification of Senate Bill 2559, the Marrakesh Treaty Implementation Act. Phone calls have a huge impact, followed by snail mail and emails. You might include the number of eligible readers in your state. For example, how many you could be serving. We have 100,000 people with print disabilities in the state of Rhode Island, quote unquote. Or you could indicate we serve XX number of people with print disabilities and do not have a collection that meets the needs of these readers. You could emphasize that books in 60-plus English-speaking countries could become available to your patrons in addition to being able to obtain foreign language items for others. For all other stakeholders, please emphasize how much of a positive impact toward expanding reading choices the treaty provides. For example, helps reduce for readers with print disabilities what the World Blind Union has termed the global book famine. The more personalized your message, the better. For letter writing process, you could opt to use the ALA portal, http://cqrcengage.com/ALA/app/write-a-letter query 12 & ND=452333. But this would be for letter writing purposes and not necessary if you just plan to call. If you need to find contact information for your senators, go to http://cqrcengage.com/ALA/home query 6. Finally, feel free to adapt and spread the message as far and wide to your family, friends, colleagues, and especially patrons. Bests, Mike L. Marlin, Director, Braille and Talking Book Library, California State Library, ALA Executive Board Member, ALA/ASCLA Representative to IFLA Libraries, Serving Persons with Print Disabilities Section, P.O. Box 942-837, 900 N Street, Suite 110, Sacramento, California, 94237-0001. Email mike.marlin@library.ca.gov. Phone 916-651-0812. From the National Institutes of Health at www.nih.gov, visual impairment blindness cases in U.S. expected to double by 2050. News release Thursday, May 19, 2016. NIH-funded studies tease out trends by race, ethnicity, and sex. With the youngest of the baby boomers hitting 65 by 2029, the number of people with visual impairment or blindness in the United States is expected to double to more than 8 million by 2050, according to projections based on the most recent census data and from studies funded by the National Eye Institute, part of the National Institutes of Health. Another 16.4 million Americans are expected to have difficulty seeing due to correctable refractive errors such as myopia, nearsightedness, or hyperopia, farsightedness, that can be fixed with glasses, contacts, or surgery. The researchers were led by Rohit Varma, MD, director of the University of Southern California's Roski Eye Institute, Los Angeles, and published their analysis May 19th in JAMA Ophthalmology. They estimate that 1 million Americans were legally blind, 2200 vision or worse, in 2015. Having 2200 vision means that for clear vision, you would have to be 20 feet or closer to an object that a person with normal vision could see from 200 feet away. Meanwhile, 3.2 million Americans had visual impairment in 2015, meaning they had a 20/40 or worse vision with best possible correction. Another 8.2 million had vision problems due to uncorrected refractive error. These findings are an important forewarning of the magnitude of vision loss to come. They suggest that there is a huge opportunity for screening efforts to identify people with correctable vision problems and early signs of eye diseases. Early detection and intervention, possibly as simple as prescribing corrective lenses, could go a long way toward preventing a significant proportion of avoidable vision loss, said NEI Director Paul A. Sieving, MD, PhD. Over the next 35 years, Varma and his colleagues project that the number of people with legal blindness will increase by 21% each decade to 2 million by 2050. Likewise, best corrected visual impairment will grow by 25% each decade, doubling to 6.95 million. The greatest burden of visual impairment and blindness will affect those 80 years or older, as advanced age is a key risk factor for diseases such as age-related macular degeneration and cataracts. The researchers analyzed data on visual impairment impairment and blindness from 6 large studies: the Beaver Dam Eye Study, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin; Baltimore Eye Survey and Salisbury Eye Evaluation Study, Maryland; and the Chinese American Eye Study, Monterey Park, California; Los Angeles Latino Eye Study; and Proyecto VER, Nogales and Tucson, Arizona. They used the 2014 census and population growth projections to estimate the nationwide prevalence of vision impairment and blindness now and in 2050. In terms of absolute numbers, non-Hispanic whites, particularly white women, represent the largest proportion of people affected by visual impairment and blindness, and their numbers will nearly double. By 2050, 2.15 million non-Hispanic white women are expected to be visually impaired, and 610,000 will be blind. Based on these data, there is a need for increased screening and interventions across all population, especially among non-Hispanic white women, Varma said. African Americans currently account for the second highest proportion of visual impairment, but that is expected to shift to Hispanics around 2040. As the Hispanic population, and particularly the number of older Hispanics, continues to grow. Hispanics have particularly high rates of diabetes, which is associated with diabetic eye disease, a treatable cause of visual impairment. African Americans, meanwhile, are expected to continue to account for the second highest proportion of blindness. African Americans are at a disproportionately high risk for developing glaucoma, a potentially blinding eye disease that typically causes the loss of peripheral but not central vision. So people tend to not realize that they are losing their vision and do not seek treatment, he said. May is Health Vision Month. For more information about how to keep eyes healthy, visit https://nei.nih.gov/HVM. The study was funded in part by NEI Grants U10EY017337-05 and K23EY022949-01. NEI leads the federal government's research on the visual system and eye diseases. NEI supports basic and clinical science programs that result in the development of sight-saving treatments and address special needs of people with vision loss. For more information, visit http://www.nei.nih.gov. On May 17th, USA Today published, Apple pushes to teach coding to students who are deaf and blind. Apple CEO Tim Cook uses the Swift Playgrounds app on the new 9.7-inch iPad to maneuver a ball. At bottom right, an Apple educational event at Lane Technical College Prep High School, March 27, 2018 in Chicago. Photo by Charles Rex Arbogast for AP. Tim Cook has been vocal about wanting students to learn to code. On Thursday, Apple CEO announced that the company is bringing its Everyone Can Code curricula for the Swift programming language to schools across the country that serve students who are deaf and blind. Cook tweeted, because when we say everyone can code, we mean everyone. The announcement came Thursday in conjunction with the 7th Global Accessibility Awareness Day, the purpose of which is to get everyone talking, thinking, and learning about digital, web, software, mobile, etc., access, and inclusion in people with different disabilities. Throughout the rest of May, Apple says it will be holding accessibility-related events and customer sessions at all its retail stores. At its Michigan Avenue flagship store in Chicago, for example, the Hadley Institute for the Blind and Visually Impaired will demonstrate the voiceover tool inside iOS that reads aloud what's on the screen for people who are blind or who have low vision. Apple says the participating schools will tailor lessons using accessibility technology the company has baked into the iPhone and other products, covering people with vision, hearing, physical, motor, cognitive, or other assistive needs. The company has collaborated with engineers, educators, and programmers from various accessibility communities and says it is working with the schools to augment the curricula. For example, it will employ tactile maps to help blind students learn to code. Here's the initial list of participating schools: California School for the Blind in Fremont, California; California School for the Deaf, also in Fremont; Florida School for the Deaf and Blind in St. Augustine, Florida; Hadley Institute for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Winnetka, Illinois; District 75/Citywide Programs, New York City Department of Education, New York, New York. Perkins School for the Blind, Watertown, Massachusetts. Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired, Austin, Texas. Texas School for the Deaf, also in Austin. Don Barrett, a member of the American Council of the Blind, applauds the move. If you get coders and computer scientists accessibility aware from the beginning, as they go out and get jobs putting these systems together, they can push and say, hey, we really need to make this accessible. It's not a big deal. Let's just do it. From blindalive.com, welcome to Blind Alive and Eyes Free Fitness. For returning visitors who want to go straight to our programs, click on the hot link. For our new visitors, please let me introduce you briefly to Blind Alive. At Blind Alive, we work with men and women who are visually impaired and experience lack of access to physical exercise. We help them become healthier and more mobile by making fitness fully accessible. Participants often report immediate results and improvements in as little as a few hours in the convenience and privacy of their homes. For as little as $7.99, you can make a rewarding investment in improving your health and well-being. With Blind Alive, Mel Scott, herself blind since childhood, is working with top instructors to bring health and mobility transformation to the vision-impaired community. The workout of the month is interval training, level 1. The workout of the month is at a discounted price. Act now. Interval training workout is our featured workout for May. It is low impact, no getting on the floor, and it strengthens muscles and the cardiovascular system. Coordination and balance is incorporated too. You can learn the moves and you are all set. Since summer is almost here, we are discounting it to $9.99. This is one of my favorites. Each month we feature one of our workouts. You never know what the price will be. Check back every month. Every one of our programs is delivered as a direct digital download, or if you prefer, a thumb drive or an SD card. As a bonus, you will receive additional text and audio descriptions of the movements that meticulously detail the actions, as well as possible modifications to the workout routine. You can also now purchase all Blind Alive programs either on this website platform as a downloadable MP3, CD, or thumb drive, or on our iOS app platform. Please decide which platform is best for you. Programs bought on one platform do not qualify as purchases on the other platform. Now we'd like to offer you two options. First, if you are new to Blind Alive, we invite you to download a free and easy 20-minute audio exercise program that will introduce you to our world of fitness for every level and skill. Or second, go straight ahead and explore our programs to start today for as little as $7.99. There are hot buttons for signing up and selecting the workouts that you need. And there is a menu at the top of the page with hot links you can click for home, programs, a blog, podcast, buy now, previous orders, favorite product picks, contact us, and FAQ. There is a BOGO on sale now. Website only, not valid on the app. Buy one, get one free. It is getting close to convention time in St. Louis. Would you like to win some money? Then contact Sandy Feldman at 515-729-8427 or email her at sandy.feldman3@gmail.com. Tickets are going for $5 each or $5 for $20. She is mailing tickets out this week, so let her know how many you would like to buy or sell. Remember, the more we sell, the more money the winner will get. One winner will receive half of the proceeds made. We have plenty of tickets, so let's get emails or calls to Sandy as soon as possible. Hope to see many of you in St. Louis. D. Clayton, President, ACB Diabetics, in action. Phone 515-848-5007. Email deeclayton1@gmail.com. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. I hope you all had a somber and celebratory Memorial Day weekend.